Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Please be seated. Venerable religious, dear parishioners, dear guests and visitors, I would like to speak to you tonight about the five wounds of the glorified body of Jesus. Why would there remain those five gashes on a glorified body? When Jesus rose from the dead, he was teaching us what is going to happen to our bodies if only, of course, we persevere in the state of sanctifying grace and die in that state. On the last day of the world, when the general judgment happens, every human being that has ever lived since the beginning of time will be raised from the dead. We preach this truth every time we pray the Apostles' Creed. We believe in the resurrection of the body. Those that die in God's grace, that persevere to the end, will arise with a glorified body. A body that will be light, that will be radiant, that will be able to transcend many a physical law of nature. Those that do not persevere will rise with a hideous body. And our Lord is teaching us by His resurrection that to persevere, to grow in grace so that our body can be all the more glorious when it is reunited forever to the soul. But why wounds? Why those fountains of blood? The five wounds, the two in his hands, the two in his feet, and most precious of all, the wound in his sacred heart. Jesus kept them. The rest of his body was completely healed, glorified, shining. And my dear brethren, by studying the Shroud of Turin, we can understand a little bit more of what a miracle that was, the resurrection of Jesus. So brilliant was his resurrection, so filled with light that a photograph was made on the shroud. And everyone that has studied it knows it's not a painting. It is photographed. It came from the resurrection of that glorified body. And so much light was there that this perfect photographic image would remain to this day. We also know that it happened when our Lord was already in a vertical position because his hair is hanging straight down, not as though he were lying flat on his back as he was laid in the tomb, but he's alive, he's vertical, he's risen from the dead, and he left us that precious relic of his resurrection. But why the wounds? One reason is that the resurrected Christ teaches us that we too will have wounds in this life ourselves. As you can see on the Paschal candle, we have those five wounds. Five grains of incense were inserted. Five wax-covered nails press those grains of incense into the pure beeswax of the candle, which represents the body of Christ. And Jesus is reminding us that though we must live a resurrected life, yet, as we know, we cannot escape suffering. And therefore, he wanted to keep those marks of suffering, even though they were no longer painful to him, but by their presence, he wanted to encourage us in our sorrows, in our sufferings, in our wounds. You see, even though we're living that a life of resurrection, as St. Paul tells us very clearly in the epistles for Easter, still, he also says, we preach a crucified Christ. Our Lord is also reminding us by those wounds that he endured of the cost of sin. And yes, my dear brethren, you and I need that reminder our whole lives. Because do we stop sinning? Are we perfect? Were we no longer offend God? We know we cannot make that claim. But we see that cost. Not a painful cost anymore for Jesus, for in his resurrected body there can be no pain, no suffering anymore. But it's also a reminder of the moral guilt that Christ took upon us. Christ took upon himself the foulest of sins, the worst of crimes, the most depraved of all iniquities. He took it on himself. We find it hard to relate to that sometimes, as Bishop Sheen pointed out. We understand more the language of pain and suffering, but we don't understand as much what it's like to take on a guilt that we never incurred. And in this case, our Lord, he took on the guilt of all of mankind, of every sin that would ever be committed, and he took it on himself and paid the price in full. So you see, my dear brethren, why we need this sacred and holy reminder, and Jesus kept it for this reason. To remind us of his pain, all for love of us. To remind us of the moral guilt that he took upon himself, also out of love for us. But there's another reason why he kept those wounds, besides to show his love and to encourage us, to inspire us. It was to strengthen our faith. Remember, there was a doubter among those 11 apostles. One, we know what happened to him. But there were 11. 10 of them saw the Lord, saw his glorified body, saw wounds, and they told Thomas about that. I will not believe. I cannot bring myself to acknowledge that his word is true. I'm going to have to put my finger into those wounds. What a dare Thomas issued to his Lord and Master. And he knew that Jesus had prophesied this. He knew our Lord's word is true, but he wouldn't believe. But then, for that matter, was anybody else believing? You see why Holy Saturday, that first Holy Saturday, was such a dark day? Because faith was lost. The apostles, they thought it was over. The disciples on their way to Emmaus, they thought that he was going to keep his word, but no, it didn't happen according to their human understanding. The women, they weren't even believing. They came to anoint a dead body. They were wondering who was going to roll back the stone for them. So you see, faith had nearly disappeared. There was, of course, one heart, one mind, one soul in which faith never faltered in the least. And that was in the heart of Mary, in the noble mind and soul of our Holy Mother Mary. She never lost faith. It seemed like everybody else lost it or was greatly diminished. So Jesus took that opportunity to take Thomas's dare. And Thomas had no right to give that. Make me believe. He had no right to say that. But Jesus, in his goodness, took that opportunity to give us a lesson of faith. Bring here thy finger. Put thy hand into my side. Thomas, I'm accepting your conditions. But, and here's the point, blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. And that is the precious gift that Jesus gives to all of those that would live after his resurrection and ascension, who would not see him face to face, would not see the wounds, but know they were there from the testimony of these trustworthy witnesses. And he is giving to all of us that beautiful challenge of faith to believe even though we don't see. And that's why the wounds stayed. So that Thomas could be taught a lesson of faith. And for the rest of time, it seems like this holy, now we call St. Thomas the Apostle, but in a sense he does penance till the end of time because we have that phrase, the doubting Thomas. Don't be a doubting Thomas. How often, my dear brethren, we lose faith. Our faith weakens. We get involved in so many things that don't matter. We get derailed from living our baptismal vows. Our faith falters. But Jesus gives us a most beautiful inspiration every Resurrection Sunday, to believe and to believe firmly. And he says, remember my wounds. They were really there. The hand of Thomas touched them. The finger felt those gashes in his flesh and bone and sinew. And it's an opportunity for us to wax stronger in our faith. And my dear brethren, for all eternity, the five glorious wounds of Jesus will be there. They will never disappear. Eternity is without end. The wounds of Christ will always be there. Not that we'll need faith in heaven, we'll see God face to face. But still, the reminder is there. The visible remnant of the infinite price of loving sacrifice will be there. And we will praise them forever, the glorified wounds of Jesus. On Good Friday, we knelt before that crucifix that shows all the terrible sufferings of Jesus, and we kissed his feet. Imagine what it will be like to see the glorified feet, the glorified wounds in the hands, and above all, the glorified wound in his side. May I offer you a thought that many a saint has also had in regards to the wounds of our Lord? They say, hide yourself in those wounds. It's a mental representation or act that we make whenever we are bewildered and beat down by life and suffering and difficulty, or maybe we feel alone or surrounded. Think of hiding yourself in the wounds of Christ. Parents, you can, in your prayers, enclose your children in those loving wounds. They are a most safe spiritual harbor. Let us have a devotion to these holy wounds. Let us honor them. Again, each one to remain forever. But what about our Blessed Mother? Did she suffer physical wounds? No. But the saints tell us that every wound in the body of Christ was suffered in the soul of Mary. And I personally think that there are scars, real physical scars in Mary's heart that are that also remain. Just as wounds remained of Christ, I think there's, you know, a physical strain that can show up in the heart. And we know that that's what a mother is. She's heart. She's love. And we know that whatever Mary suffered, she suffered for love of us. Maybe God will somehow reveal to us, and this is my own private opinion, it's not church dogma, but I think that even the heart of our mother will have some kind of visible representation for all eternity where she will show us what she endured for the love of us in obedience to the will of God to accomplish our redemption. So, my dear brethren, let us rejoice wholeheartedly today. Let us try to become more conscious than ever that we are a redeemed people, that we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have been washed in the waters of baptism, and every time we're forgiven, the blood of Jesus washes our souls again. There's so much joy that should fill us when we realize how blessed we are, how much God has given to us. So, in the words of the Regina Chaley, and I'll close with this today, we're going to pray this often during the Easter season, in union with our Holy Mother Mary, and honoring her, we shall pray, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, Alleluia, for he whom thou didst merit to bear, Alleluia, hath risen as he said, Alleluia. Pray for us to God, Alleluia. A joyous Easter, and one filled with grace and blessing to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.